want your soul.
"30 hours ago, I hopped on a late-night flight from New York heading to Los Angeles. After boarding, I saw that I had an entire row to myself. Takeoff passed without incident, and soon I was stretched out for a nap across the row. I slept for a few hours, I don't know how long, but I woke up to some severe turbulence. It's possible that the lights in the cabin went out for a moment, but I was so disoriented that it's hard to say. I checked my phone to see that it was 4:03 a.m., which I figured gave me about an hour until we landed. But when I looked out my window, I was shocked to see nothing but wide open ocean. My jaw dropped. There's obviously no ocean between New York and Los Angeles. What's going on here?" I hit the button to call the flight attendant and spent the next few minutes racking my brain for a lake that could have been possibly big enough to explain what I was seeing. I jumped when the attendant flipped off the light. She was grinning from ear to ear, and tears were pouring down her cheeks. "How can I help you, sir?" she asked. I froze for a moment at her reaction before deciding to just ask my question. Where are we? Why does it look like we're flying over an ocean right now?" She wiped her cheeks to clear the tears, still grinning wildly. "Sir, we'll be landing in about an hour." "An hour? Okay. All right, thank you," I said. After she left, I checked the clock on my phone again. 4:03 a.m. blinked back at me. It hadn't changed. I had to have been waiting with my call light on for at least 5 minutes. How was it possible that it hadn't changed at all? I opened up my laptop and saw it also displayed 4:03 a.m. I then pulled out my phone, started a stopwatch in the app, and spent the next 2 hours looking back and forth between the clocks, waiting for them to change. But they never did. I tapped the shoulder of an older woman sitting in the row ahead of me. She looked back, an annoyed expression across her face. "Yes?" she asked. "Do you know how long until we land?" She narrowed her eyes. "Well, that flight attendant said it would be about another hour." I shook my head in confusion. "That flight attendant? I talked to her almost 2 hours ago. We should have been on the ground already." She stared at me as if I was crazy. I was going to continue to try to convince her, but I felt the hand on my shoulder, and I spun to see a male flight attendant grinning down at me, tears pinging off his cheeks onto my lap. "Sir, I'm going to need to ask you to calm down, or I'll be calling the captain." I looked at him in disbelief. I told him that that wouldn't be necessary and sat back. He then removed his hand and stepped away. What the fuck is going on in this plane? For the life of me, I couldn't figure it out and I was getting a little worried. The flight attendants continued to stop by every few hours offering meals, and my stopwatch continued to tick up and is now telling me that I had been on the plane for more than 30 hours. I've explored all of coach and tried talking to some of the other passengers, but they've all told me that they're expecting to land in an hour or so. Around 3 hours ago, I tried to get into first class, and I made it past the curtain, but was immediately escorted back by two grinning, crying flight attendants. And their grip on my arms was like iron. "Sir, the seatbelt sign is on. Please remain in your seat with the buckle fastened. We'll be landing in about an hour," they said. I'd just about given up hope when a woman came down the aisle dressed in a business suit. She didn't look at me or slow down, but she dropped a piece of paper onto my tray as she made her way to the bathrooms at the back of the plane. I took a look around before unrolling it. It said, "Are you stuck too?" I pulled out a pen and wrote, "Yes, it's been 30 hours. I then folded the scrap of paper up and set it on the tray closest to the aisle. She then left the bathroom and picked it up as she passed. 20 minutes went by, and I'm not sure, but I don't think the flight attendants would like it if they knew we were talking. But it doesn't matter. I have to do something, because I was getting a real bad feeling about this whole situation on this airplane. A few hours went by after the businesswoman picked up her piece of paper with my message. and then she came back down the aisle and sat in the seat beside me. She bent over, trying to stay low and out of eyesight. "So you're stuck too?" she asked. I kept my voice low. Yeah, my name's Jack, by the way. I'd say nice to meet you, but I don't think it's nice to meet anybody in these circumstances. She nodded. I'm Mary, and you're wrong. Getting your message was by far the best thing about the past 24 hours. I've spent the last day on this plane thinking I was alone in all this. She paused for a moment, looking up the aisle. When she spoke again, she was whispering. Jack, do you have any theories on what the hell's going on up here? I considered lying, but decided the truth was for the best. I think we might be dead. Mary shook her head. Maybe if it was just me or you. If this was some cosmic train to hell, then why would there be two of us who realize what's going on? I don't know, I have no idea. It's just a thought. Mary then pulled out her phone and handed it to me. It displayed the Wikipedia article for Flight MH370, the airline that disappeared in 2014. I read through the article carefully. There were dozens of theories trying to explain what happened. They ranged from hypoxia to suicide to aliens. I don't think that tells us what's going on here, Mary, I said. Well, not much other than this may have happened before. Okay, well, how about you? Any theories as to why anyone else can't see what's going on? We talked it over for a while and realized the only one thing we had in common was that we were both fast asleep at approximately 4:03 a.m. There's no way we were the only ones asleep at that time, though. Well, maybe everybody else was just napping. I don't know about you, but I was well and truly asleep. The cabin lights flicked off and a dozen red emergency lights in the floor flicked on, casting the cabin in a red glow. The intercom crackled to life, and someone said, "Passengers, please return to your seats. The seatbelt sign is fastened, and we may experience some turbulence. We'll be landing in about an hour." Should I go back to my seat? I don't know, maybe they won't notice if you're gone. But then again, maybe they already know and they're just trying to separate us. She nodded. I think we should stay together. That's a better idea. The intercom then crackled again. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to announce the arrival of the captain. We'll all be given the opportunity to speak with him. Please remain in your seats until he calls you. If you need assistance, don't worry. All flight attendants will be happy to help you on your way. Sounds of passengers getting to their feet echoed from further up in the plane. We sat in silence, trying to get a look through the curtain separating us from first class. The captain? No idea, she replied, but it didn't sound like they were talking about a pilot to me. Were they? No, I don't think so. That's when a pungent sulfur smell hit us, so strong that I had to resist the urge to gag. It reminded me of the worst rotting eggs I'd ever smelt in my life. The old woman sitting ahead of us didn't even react. She just kept watching a movie on the back of her seat. Don't cough, I said to Mary. We fought it for a few seconds before giving in, coughing hard and violently. And a second later, the curtain opened. Mary and I froze, staring down four flight attendants. They passed through the curtain and made their way down the roads towards us, grins stretched wide and tears streaming down their faces. But this time, the tears streaking their faces were dark. It's hard to say with the lighting, but it looked like it was blood red. My eyes weren't drawn to them, though. I looked over their shoulders at the figure standing near the front of the plane. It was a black silhouette standing beside the cockpit door. The silhouette was at least 8 feet tall and pointing towards us with a single finger. It had called us. The bathrooms, I shouted. We got up and ran towards the back of the plane, and the flight attendants closed in behind us, blood dripping from their grinning cheeks, onto the carpet of the floor. The captain is here, one of the attendants said in a perfect customer service voice, and his grin widened as he moved towards us. At the end of the plane, we made it to the bathrooms, jumping into opposite sides. I slammed my door shut and locked it, pressing my feet against the folding center part of the door to keep it closed. The flight attendants then began banging on the door and pulling at the handle while I fought to keep it shut. I was absolutely terrified. I'm sorry, but you'll both need to speak with the captain now, one of the flight attendants announced. Jack, Jack, Mary screamed. Please help. A distinct snapping sound, like breaking metal, came from her bathroom, and she continued to scream as the sounds of a struggle migrated up towards the front of the plane, towards the black figure I'd earlier seen. I'd like to be able to say that I jumped out and fought them all, that I distracted them or did something heroic. But I didn't. I was absolutely shitting my pants. She was carried away, and a few short seconds later, her screaming was cut off. That was a few hours ago, and I'm still locked inside this bathroom. I keep trying not to think of what they've done with her. That thing at the front of the plane didn't look human to me. I hope it didn't kill her, not after she was shouting for my help like that. But I couldn't take it. I haven't heard any movement outside in a few hours now, but I'm terrified to open the door. I'm quite a ways from the seat outlets, so my phone's almost dead, and I haven't eaten in way too long. But if I go out there, will they remember? What if that thing is still waiting for people, the captain or whatever the fuck it is? I don't have much time to make a decision, but I know I need to do something. Another dozen hours or so passed by, and I finally got up the courage to open the door. The lights in the cabin were back to normal, and I couldn't smell any sulfur. I cautiously and quietly made my way back to the seat, and I almost broke down when the grinning, crying flight attendant came by offering a meal. At that moment, that crappy airline food was the most delicious stuff I'd ever eaten. When I'd finished, my mind immediately turned to Mary. What happened to her? What did they do to her? I crept down the aisle towards first class, trying to keep a low profile. Surprisingly, the flight attendants were nowhere to be seen. They'd almost seemed to ignore me, almost as if they wanted me to find her. I noticed that she had a row to herself and was staring down at her phone in the window seat. I slid into the aisle and shook her arm. Mary! She then pulled out her headphones and stared at me with a surprised expression. Yeah, what's going on? Are you okay? What did they do to you? I'm sorry, who are you? Do we know each other? What? What do you mean? I realized with sinking horror that she had no idea who I was, and I fought back tears. Mary, how long have you been on this flight? She looked and checked the watch on her wrist. Well, it's 4:03 a.m., dude, so a few hours at least. I've been on at the same time as you. She stared at me the same way you'd look at a person claiming they were an alien. Her tone was low and not very reassuring. Hey, why don't you not worry so much? Look on the bright side. We'll be landing in about an hour. I then felt an iron grip on my arm and looked up to see two flight attendants standing next to me. Sir, this area is for first-class passengers only. I'd like you to return to your seat now. We'll be landing in about an hour. They were still crying and grinning, but just with tears this time. I could still see streaks of blood staining the front of their uniforms, though. I was quickly escorted back to my seat, where I spent the next several days. Attendants continued to stop by with food. I would use the bathroom and soon was going absolutely crazy with monotony. In retrospect, those few days weren't that bad. There's a lot of stuff on the internet after all, even with crappy plain Wi-Fi. No, it didn't get really bad until around 10 days later when the Wi-Fi failed. It was sometime a week later that I lost control and began screaming for a flight attendant. I had a breakdown. They didn't come for several minutes, but eventually one did. Just let me see the fucking captain, I asked. The flight attendant bent down low and spoke with that same customer service voice. I'm sorry, sir. The captain has made his decision regarding you quite clear. You didn't answer his call and will therefore wait. And furthermore, profanity is not allowed to be used on this flight. Well, how much longer do I have to wait? Quite a while, I'm afraid, sir. Don't worry, though, because we're going to be landing in about an hour. She straightened up and then walked away. I started making notches on various parts of the seat back to keep track of different things. One notch for each time I used the bathroom, one for each meal, one for every time I watched a given movie, that sort of thing. It was hell. It was total and complete hell. I watched every movie in the seat back a dozen times over. If I ever acted out badly enough, I would be escorted back to my seat by one or more flight attendants. Any attempt at conversation with other passengers was met with confusion by them, followed by another quick escort back to my seat. I'd guess it was on or around day 30 that, in a moment of panic and psychosis, I broke my laptop and phone screaming at the top of my lungs. No one around me reacted in any way when I totally flipped out. After 2 months, I had an atrocious stink on me. The muscles in my legs were tight and cramped constantly. I finally concluded that killing myself was the only option after my 128th rewatch of Thor Ragnarok. I got to my feet and limped towards the emergency exit. I knew normally the pressure inside the airplane forced the doors closed, but I figured that nothing about my situation was normal. If this didn't work, I'd find some other more painful way to go. But either way, I was going to get off this plane, one way or the other, and if that meant crashing this motherfucker, then so be it. I grabbed at the handle and swung it up. To my shock, the door easily opened, though no wind of any kind whipped around the cabin. It remained the standard slightly too cold temperature that had been for the past who knew how long. The open door called to me as a black portal out of the plane. I stared at it for a long moment, almost too long, and an attendant's hand grabbed my shoulder, pulling me away. In a fit of anger and strength that surprised me, I wrenched my arm away and jumped out of the plane. The wind whipping past my face was almost magical, a new sensation after so many months of the same. The ocean below me grew closer and larger, and I realized that suddenly, I didn't want to die after all. It grew larger and larger and larger until it seemed that all I could see was a darkness and waves. I impacted the surface of the water so fast and so hard that my entire body slammed and jerked around back into the flight seat. I pulled my hand back, sucking at my bruised knuckle, and punched it on the seat in front of me. "No," I whispered, and then I started screaming. A flight attendant ran down the aisle kneeling beside me. "Are you okay, sir?" I clenched my hand into fists, almost swinging at her, but then I realized she wasn't grinning, and she wasn't crying. To be honest, she looked a little scared of me. I reached my right hand down to my pocket where I could feel my now unbroken phone, and it read 4:04 a.m. "Sir, if you can calm down, we're going to be landing in about an hour," she said. My mouth tasted like ash. "Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to relax now. That's fine. Not a problem." I stared unblinking at my phone. It now displayed 4:05 a.m. Then I looked out my window and began to cry at the sight of city lights below me. We did land in about an hour. I can't even begin to explain why or how, but I'm currently sitting in an airport cafe typing this out. I'm free. I'm out. And I can tell you one thing. I will never, ever get on an airplane again.